Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
And welcome back to the House of Mystery. I'm Al Warren. Today, joining me is an author. His book is called Loggerheads. It's a memoir. And, of course, he's the author, and that's who we're going to interview. So, Mr. Bruce Hornridge, thank you for coming on the show.
Okay. Hi.
So, Bruce, what made you decide to write this book?
I was a logger and a tree faller. So, we went through a protest from the preservation side back in 1993. 800 people were arrested in those 4 months. And I wanted to make sure there was a record on line from, well, my side, I guess, but just to explain ourselves in the logging industry and what we actually went through in those 4 months of protests. We had went through the line for every day, and they had their signage up and media there, speech makers telling us we were, well, bad people for killing the trees and logging. I wanted to make sure the story got out there from our side. I wrote the initial format in 96, and then I sat on it for 30 years. So it's been a little bit of a struggle just to even put it out there because I didn't figure anybody give a damn. So we tried to do that.
So I guess as being a logger, what was the biggest thing that you had to overcome in that side of it? Was it the demonstrators and all that, or was it something else?
Well, it's a highly dangerous job, of course, and we had to go to work every day to do it. For the most part, the story that the environmental side was spanning was destruction, devastation, bad logging practices, killing fish, you know, generally doing a bad job. We never did put out advertising that we were changing our logging practices. We were trying to address a lot of the issues. It just didn't seem, you know, that we were being listened to. There was a whole media presentation and a bunch of people who really didn't know anything about logging practices other than they could see devastation or whatever was being spoken to them about our work. You know, I wrote a lot of letters during the 70s and 80s to do with logging practices, bureaucrats, politicians, media, generally to explain ourselves, and none of it seemed to really sink into the other side. The company was changing some of their practices, but it's a slow process.
Were you an owner of the company, or were you just the logger that worked for a company?
Yeah, I right out of school, I went over in 67, started building roads as a ground man, went into the office as a assistant warehouseman, and then in 1972, I had an opportunity to train as a faller, which is the highest paying job in the bush. So naturally, that's got an influence, money, of course. So I trained with expert fallers. We had a good training program and partnered up with people that were longtime fallers. And I did that job from 72 until 97. The protests were in 93. The company lasted 4 years. You know, the changes that were made to logging, the politicians, the regulations that came in, the company finally said the hell with this and terminated the whole works of us. So that was the end of my job.
Right, yeah. So what, for people that don't know, what is a faller? What do you mean by that?
Okay, a faller, the person that actually cuts the trees down. There are safe procedures for how to do that. And there's also, I mean, you got to watch what you're doing, but the act of cutting the tree down, laying it on the hillside or in the flats, wherever, and cutting the tree into logs, which can be transported by other machinery to a roadside, put on trucks and taken to mills to start the process of getting them to the mill.
Right. Was that was the highest paying job. So was it the most dangerous as well?
Yes, when I broke in, there was an average 27 in BC that were relatable to falling killed. You know, other workers sometimes fell afoul of fallers, but the number I always knew about was 27 per year in BC. It dropped after that because we had safer day rate system of falling where you could learn. You weren't really pushed to make a lot of production. It was make sure you do it safe.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And efficiently and make logs, quality logs, rather than any ideas of butchery. But there was a good training program, yeah.
When you started doing that, were you scared a little bit, or did it sort of put you on the edge, being it was such a dangerous job?
Yeah, things happen so fast. Again, you follow the procedure, it should be okay, but things do happen relatively fast, scare the crap out of you. I could tell you some horror stories there of close calls. And it was the safety representative for the falling group for 15 or more years. So we did investigate people that were injured from falling accidents. And nobody was killed while I was rep, but there were career-ending accidents and lots of close calls, lots of close calls.
Well, how does that work then? Like what did you have to actually physically do, and what was it that was hurting people?
Well, trees do some funny things when they start to go over. One accident, the fella lost control of it and the tree fell up against a rock bluff and part of it snapped back and hit him in the belly area and his hip. So that caused him some injuries. Another one, the tree... Part of the side of the tree is a small one per se, but maybe a quarter of the side actually split up, pivoted about 20 or 30 feet up in the air, and then fell straight down across his foot, crushed his foot. Another one, the power saw he was running, it actually kicked back, and the bar chain took him in between his thumb and his forefinger and cut back a couple of inches. So he lost some feeling, and they had to restitch things all together there. Another kickback, a fella took it across the forearm, the blade, and quite a major cut. The tendons went around the elbow, and they had to fish that around and tie them back together. They're nasty-sounding accidents, but this is a sharp chain that you don't want to argue with that. Myself... I had a kickback from a high-pressure cut, a little dumbass sapling. Couldn't have been more than 2 inches, but it had lots of pressure on it. It caused my chain to rotate in my handlebar hand, and the bar came right over beside my face and took my glasses right off my face, but it didn't touch me. Took me 20 minutes to find the glasses because it shot them out about 20 feet in the bush. But anyway, they happen so fast that you really got no reaction to them. And if you're lucky enough not to get damaged, then you're lucky, or God's looking after you. It's not your time. But other guys got hurt and unfortunately get killed.
So what did you love about the job the most?
Money, of course, is an offhanded comment.
Yeah.
I liked the doing a proper job with the resource that you had, doing a nice job of falling the tree, cutting it into logs, laying it out like a staircase up the hillside so that the other people that could come along behind to pull the logs and that had a nice place to work. Too many times you wind up in real steep mountainsides where you can't do a thing with it other than butcher it straight down the hill, and the logs take off 200, 300, 400, 500 feet or more down the hill. They smash up. It looks ugly, and I prefer to do a really nice job of it. Safety, of course, always, because where we fell, it was a mess of shellal bush, debris all over the place, mixture of small trees, big trees. You had to really watch what you were doing, that you didn't get activity going on that was going to hurt you just from the mess that's around.
Yeah, yeah.
But I liked it. It was, the weather was grim sometimes, but other days they're really nice. You sweat your guts out. It kept you occupied. You were doing something all day long. And the fellow that trained me, he said the two biggest things you've got to have at this job are these things and this thing. You got to see it to figure it out and figure it out to live. So you got to practice all those good advices. And I'm grateful for the fellow that trained me and partner I had for the last 7 years before he retired. He was one of the old original crosscut type saw people and taught me lots. And I'm really grateful that I had good training. But the idea is you have to put it to practice.
Well, and so now what was the biggest concern? So you had like these demonstrators and protesters and stuff. What is it that they were mad at or upset at toward you and the tree people? Like, what was it that they didn't like?
The biggest word that got thrown around was the devastation. Now, when you take a forest and you fall it all, and we were instructed to take big stuff and little stuff down for safety reasons, it looks like a mess, a heck of a mess when you get finished. There's debris and limbs and stumps all over the place. And so the word was devastation. You know, they don't look at the fact that you replant it. And mind you, it takes 10, 20 years before it grows up somewhat. But the devastation gets covered over with new trees growing. And in 100 years or more, you've got another bunch of trees that are usable and merchantable for to be used. So they were using every method that they could, pictures and, devastation, smashed trees, torn up hillsides where the machines had yarded the wood to the roadside, calling us tree killers, just disrespect, I think, it annoyed us quite a bit.
Well, what is it they wanted you to do different? Like, what was it that they were saying you should just stop? Taking down trees, like walk away? Like, what was it they want you to change your practices? Or,
well, certainly the practices in some places around Fish Creeks, there was a concept of taking only the larger trees and leave all the little ones to grow up more. It's a fine concept, but you try and fall bigger trees into littler trees and you leave a heck of a mess, and they've got to yard that, and safety-wise, you've got debris hanging all over the place. So the main thing with the environmental movement became the other word, preservation. And there's a lot of that in BC where they don't want you to cut anything in these reserve areas. And there's quite a lot of tracts of land where they want the animals to survive and have good country to live in grizzly bear country, owls, other rodents of the bush and stuff like that they're saying we would affect or impact. Well, you know, if you cut a forest in patches, you got lots of patches for the other things to survive in, and then the rest of it grows up. So it's an understanding thing, and you have to have wood products. And never could get it across to them that, you know, we can change some of our practices to suit better use of the resource, but we still want our jobs, and we still need wood for our economy and world use of wood products.
How does it that it end it then? So did it, you know, the, I guess you said the business closed because the regulations got too tough, was it? Or
companies like to be able to operate with some sort of a plan. So the minute you start to interfere with that plan or change the regulations of some of those plans, its costs go up and it slows things down, and they eventually got frustrated and said, heck with this, we'll let the contractors do all that, and slowly, and they can preserve the areas that they want preserved. Clackwood Sound is a UNESCO biosphere reserve area, and so much of it is now protected to outright protection or special logging practices, helicopters, just taking the trees that are the bigger ones, and all the stuff we said we would do. Well, they're doing it now, but they're only doing it about 10% of the cut that we used to cut. So it's a little weak contractors from time to time. So we want our division to operate on a yearly basis.
So now, like, in I know in the promo it says that there's, you know, 3 decades after the war in the woods, we think we know what happened, and we've been told why, and here's what was never told. So is there like some sort of a conspiracy or a secret or something, or what is it that you can say about that? Like, what is it you want us to know about that?
You never know in your mind whether somebody up there is arranging to make sure they get their way and you're thrown off to the side. You never, you know, conspiracy, I could probably look like I'm pretty nuts if I start to argue that point. So much of the stuff that went on as we were closing down, we never really thought the public ever heard about any of that. We had a training program that was going to train us out of the industry. Well, what are you going to do with a 50-year-old guy? Send him to university for 4 years to train him to do something else. Myself, at 50, you're not really motivated to start changing your job aspect of running a machine. Or, well, they had me planting trees and cutting down on the dry land sort. These were different things than what I was used to. So what is the system saying? You're going to go from so many dollars an hour job down to a $6 or $7 an hour job. I'm trying to raise my family and live in a house in a village, making nothing. What are they trying to ram down our throats? This was where we kind of got buried by the politicians and the media, and the story never really got out as to how much suffering or distress or stuff we were going through.
What were you hoping that the people buy the book and read it, get out of the book?
Initially, the idea was to have a stories of tree falling, the safety, the jobs that we were doing, and the day-to-day stories of fallen trees. And then in amongst that would be the Clackwood Sound protest and the issues in forest management that I was trying to get the company to change, or the Ministry of Forests to start to change proper usage of the resource. Don't allow guys to butcher wood. Extremes, you know, you got to be safe to do it. Also, fish creeks, protecting fish creeks. We developed a machine to pull trees over away from creeks. We developed fallers that were told don't put anything in the creek, and before that, it was just blow it all over the place, whatever you had to do. And I've worked beside some fish creeks where you saw the little fingerlings going by, and you protected them from destruction. Another devastation work. They had a system of replanting. Forestry crew that replanted, cleaned out the fish creeks if there was a mess there, did maintenance to the forest, pruning. This should have been maintained. Even now, I don't know what they do for maintaining forest maintenance now. It used to be the companies were responsible for that, but I'm hoping they replant, and I'm hoping this book will expound along that and also give an example of how people can be forced by their bosses in some manner to do things they don't want to do. I had arguments with bosses, management, ministries, or whoever. Conflict all the way through my career. I wanted to see the job done right. There's a lyric in somebody's song about trying to fix the things that you can see.
So did you have any writing experience before this?
I actually flunked English twice in grade 13 way back when, but I wanted to explain things properly in letter form. So I did do secretarial work for a bunch of the things I belonged to, union, co-op board, parent advisories. And I have an idea for, I'm a World War II buff, so I studied war, a couple of war stories I'd like to write. And I was a security guard for a while, so I'd like to write a particular murder story that's in my head.
Well, there you go. Maybe it'll happen. You never know.
Well, yeah, I got to get at it. I'm 75 now. You got to get at it sooner than
yeah. You got to do an hour a day of writing or something, and then it doesn't take long. You'll get there. You know,
lots of shoulds in this life.
Yeah,
I should do a lot of that.
Well, listen. So, do you have a website set up, or do you social media or any of that stuff, or anything like that where people can get a hold of you, readers?
I'm in Facebook. My Gmail address is bhornage@gmail.com. In Facebook, yeah, I'm okay. Getting used to that. I'm not necessarily savvy with this electronic stuff too much.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, it comes with a little practice, you know. And, well, fantastic. Of course, now your book is called Loggerheads, and it's a memoir. And our guest is the author of that, Live the Life. So, of course, we'll have your book and everything up on our website so people can find it. Thank you, Bruce Hornridge.
Okay. Thank you very much for your interest in it.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.